Welcome everyone, my name is Benjamin Nyland. Today I'm joined by some amazing speakers and friends. We're gonna be talking about Office 365, changes in the industry, SharePoint, but before we begin, of course, I'm gonna let them introduce themselves. Fabian.
Certainly. Well, thank you for having us here, Ben. My name is Fabian Williams. I'm a SharePoint and Xamarin MVP out of Washington, D.C. I work for a company called Planet Technologies, and it's an NSI partner in the D.C. metro area.
Thanks. I'm Mark Anderson. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and I work for my own company called Sympraxis Consulting. And I love client-side programming with SharePoint and Office 365 and pretty much anything, actually.
Awesome. Jennifer Mason. I am from Dallas, Texas. Also work at Planet Technologies, a consulting company that focuses on Microsoft technologies out of Washington, D.C.
And I'm Corey Roth, also out of Dallas, Texas. Do some work at Hitachi Consulting, and love everything SharePoint and Office 365.
All right, so one thing I wanted to talk about, obviously SharePoint 2016 is something that's gonna come out soon, but I wanted to talk to you about what do you think of Microsoft releasing another on-premises release? Because we weren't sure for a while. I mean, some of us were, some of us weren't. There was some rumors. So what do you think about this another release on-premises? What do you think of this new hybrid approach and, of course, Office 365, but more importantly, the challenges that that's going to bring into consultants, developers, administrators, and people in general? Fabian.
So I think there's always going to be a need for quite some time for on-premises SharePoint. Not all the customers are going to pick up their stuff and say decide to push it to the cloud for a variety of reasons. A lot of it could be regulatory. You know, some people must keep their stuff on-premises, especially if you're in an international market, also in terms of data rights and privacy. You also have the issue of, do people want better ownership of their data? However, that being said, in terms of scaling, the cloud gives you that. So there's going to be a limit that you're going to hit as a company, and it may inhibit your growth. So you want to be able to have the ability, or at least the option, to move to the cloud. So hybrid brings that to you. And I believe hybrid, in fact, there's a term I coined. It's hybrid is a new on-prem. On-prem is no longer on your server, because there's cloud services that are never going to make it all the way back down to your server. It necessitates the fact that you have to have a hybrid solution. So I think that's what's going to happen. And some people, especially for organizations that don't want to take that investment in terms of cost, a cloud-only approach may work, or at least provide them the ability. For me as a developer, one of the benefits that I see is that I can quickly proof of concept something for a customer and show it to them. I'm spinning up something in Azure, and they can say, well, it worked, 90 days, cut it off, and move forward. So a lot of benefits for me as a developer, a lot of good story points for customers as well.
A lot of good points there. I think that they had to come out with another version of on-prem, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as some people thought that wasn't going to happen, I think some of us believed that it would have to happen, because there are too many people still on-prem. They still want to use their own equipment. They still want to have everything in their own facilities.
Of course.
And I think that's going to continue as long as people have computers. I mean, we're going to have to address both sides of the market. The hybrid story is a great one if you want it. So again, it's all depends on what people need for their business. And when you say, I've heard you say, I think, everybody has to go to the cloud at some point. Or
because I believe that there's services in the cloud that will never make it way back down to on-prem, because you can't scale, for one, or it may be too costly. So it necessitates hybrid.
Well, I think never is a really tricky word. Things that we never thought were possible are happening all the time.
Like water on Mars.
Yeah. Like water on Mars, yeah. So if that can happen. So I think the on-prem market will be there for a long time. The having a hybrid option is great.
What is, we didn't talk about that, but what is hybrid? When we're talking about SharePoint 2016, we say hybrid, but what's the benefit, or how does it connect, really?
Well, you get the best of both worlds. You run some of your processing, some of your workloads, as Microsoft says, on premises. You keep the sort of crown jewels inside your facility, but you can take advantage of some of the things that the cloud provides as well. And so you sort of come up with your own mix. It's like ordering from a Chinese menu. You get your appetizers from here and your entrees from there, right? So I think it's great they've come out with another on-premises version. I think there will be more.
Okay.
I think that they'd be silly to try to ignore that market, because it's not going away.
What I love about 2016 and on-prem is I think this is enabling the future. So I think when we look at where we're at right now, they had something like 450 updates to Office 365 last year alone. And that's an insane number. None of that necessarily made it on-prem at that rate. And so I think the things that they've learned from doing Office 365 are going to change the foundation for what's there. And I think we're at the beginning, where in 5 years we're going to be able to look back and say, okay, the way we roll out these new releases and the way we do this, it's just different. And so I think that this is kind of our entry point into that. I'm really excited about what it's enabling. I think of groups as one in particular, where groups are a really great thing to use, but a lot of people used the Office client and groups was not in the Office client. Well, now it is with 2016. But then with 2016 Office client, there's the new release cycles where you get features and security monthly or every 3 months, depending on how your organization sets it up. And so I think we're going to start to see the same thing. So I'm really excited about this release for that particular reason. I think from an end user perspective, where I spend most of my time focusing on, nothing super great, right? Like all the super stuff that I'm looking at and so excited about is in Office 365 first. Right. So that's cloud first.
Features are very administrator oriented, yeah. Right? Yeah.
But they're going to enable me to be able to get what I need better, faster, quicker, later. So I think that people are going to be looking at the hybrid investment and saying, okay, I can't get there on day one, but what can I do that's hybrid? I think there's some really amazing features that as of now will not ever go from the cloud back to on-prem. And I think, you know, like you're saying, Mark, they're never. Not, never's a strong word. I'm sorry. Well, likely never, maybe never, I don't know. But they're not going down, at least for now and the near future. But I think they're powerful enough features that are going to make organizations have to say, is it worth it for me not to have this feature? When I look at Delve and some of these other things that are coming out, this is a very powerful feature.
How do you scale Delve in an on-premises environment?
You don't.
You can't.
Yeah.
Can't and won't. Never.
I'm not buying it, Fabian. We never thought we'd have Dick Tracy watches on our arms, and I've got one right here.
Dick who?
We can't say never.
So I think the SharePoint 2016 release is interesting in a variety of ways, but you notice that the feature set there really is focused on two things, making the administrator's life easier and hybrid, right? The end user won't even notice it's probably any different. Maybe the bars at the top's a little different, you know, but, you know, that kind of upgrade, they're not going to notice. But I think all these particular things are all about making the IT pro's job easier if you're still going to be supporting it. And let's face it, there are organizations that either won't for whatever reason, right? I see it a lot in, like, aerospace, things like that, places subject to export control. That stuff is never, and I'm going to say it, going to the cloud, at least in the foreseeable future. And then there's, I see it also as well with, you know, people that have invested so much in custom apps. And, Microsoft saying get to the add-in model, the app model, whatever it's called this week, you know, and get there as fast. And we know we need to, but, you know, you've made a lot of investment. You've had some of these applications running 5-10 years. Right. It's going to take time. So they're just going to leave it. And they're going to let it run on SharePoint on-prem, and then they'll move some of their other workloads to Office 365. But, you know, in the meantime, they'll use 2013, 2016, or whatever, right?
And I think it's interesting to piggyback on that. I think the hybrid story for SharePoint 2016, they brought that to SharePoint 2013 users.
Yes, the search, like the search service, cloud search service application. Yeah, I could never say it right. I always get it wrong the first time, right? But that is a big deal, and that's going to let you bring on-premises data into your Office 365 environment, whether that's a file share or local SharePoint content or even custom stuff, you know, through VCS connections or whatever, back-end systems. That's very powerful.
To your point, though, and I think I'm glad you introduced that topic, is that the fact that hybrid, the fact that even they're doing a 2016 release cycle, but then they're doing investments in hybrid in 2013 is telling that even Microsoft knows that people aren't going to turn off the 2010, 2013 machine and move to 2016. They're still making investments that are at a very high level, that are very cloud-centric in older versions.
And I think when you look at the end users, they say it makes me cringe every time they say it, you know, like the drinking game, you know, mobile first, cloud first, mobile first, cloud first. Where you're going to start to see people getting pushed to go to newer releases is when their user base who at the end of the day, users do not care if you're hybrid. They do not care if you're on-prem. They do not care if you're in their mother's basement. They do not care, but they care if I can get my data on my iPhone, if I can get it when I go to my computer, and if I can grab my tablet so that when I'm watching TV with the kids, I can still be checking my numbers, and I can be checking documents, and I can be editing PowerPoint. And
if
so,
you implement it right, they don't know. They can't
tell. That's right.
But that's really important, because you know, most of what we've been talking about has been the technical answer to Ben's question. Original question, which was a big long question. You know, in the grand scheme of things, none of this matters unless users see some reason to go for this new functionality. When IT pushes this stuff out without users pulling it, it usually doesn't work. You know, it just becomes more complicated. People have to learn more. So I think the key here for Microsoft, the key here for us, if we believe that 2016 and the hybrid model and all the things we've just been talking about actually are going to serve a purpose, is to come up with a way to explain that to user bases so that they can say, you know, I need that thing because that will make my department or my organization more productive. I'm not sure we've done a good job of that just in general in this community over the years. You know, we tend to say, but the new version's out. We want that, you know, that great new software smell.
Yeah.
But what we really need to do is match whatever those capabilities are to business requirements.
That's a great point. Like, you really hit on it. I think we're in previous versions, end users or power users, people in marketing, communications caught wind. Oh, there's this new search feature or something in SharePoint, and that will let me publish articles easier, display them, you know. So they were pushing for some of the adoption, but this time, you know, if they were at, you know, Ignite or something, seeing something, they're going to be like, I don't care. You know, that doesn't make any difference for us, right?
Yeah.
Previously, Microsoft would go into a vacuum, listen to what possible customers say, you know, interview MVPs to see what they're doing in the community and with their customers, and then build. Now we have the introduction of user voice. And with user voice, customers can have an impact in terms of what comes out. And with a shorter release cycle in Office 365, that happens first, to your point, and then it trickles down into on-premises. So I think the entire philosophy of how Microsoft even brings things to market has changed. And customers have a voice now more so than ever.
Yeah, just to finish off a little bit on this point, I would say, and it's been one of my, you know, I don't know how the expression goes in English, but I've been trying to express that quite a bit. And it goes back to what you were saying, Mark, is, you know, right now, people have a choice. The business users in organizations, they have Dropbox, right? Slack, Yammer. Even that's how Yammer came in originally, is business created the network, and then IT was like, oh, okay, well, we got to start managing that. And that's the reality, because I can go pick up a subscription, it works, I get my team on it, and that is a different reality today. So we need, as IT, to evolve, to change, right? The theme of Ignite was transform, think, reinvent. We kept seeing the word, and that's what's happening. So IT needs to change, and we need to not just start saying, okay, I'm going to 2007, 2010, 2013, 2016, just for upgrading the platform. I have to look at, okay, we've got this problem, and to solve it, perhaps it's Office 365 Delve or Groups, and that's what these portals, and we'll talk about that a bit, but I think that's why they're trying to give us that hybrid story so we can still do what we needed to do as IT and as the platform, and give people or the individuals a choice, but instead of that choice being Dropbox, it's OneDrive for Business. Right. And we still got, you know, IRM and all of these other things that stays within our ecosystem. That you can manage, control, and apps, and all of that. So,
And you know, I've been saying this for a long time, but I'm going to reiterate it.
Okay.
Right now, you know, we no longer can put out systems that end users think suck, because then they will go to these outside services, and those services are awesome. You know, you look, the reason people go to things like Slack or Asana or for task management or, you know, you name it. I mean, there are just dozens of, hundreds of these things. The reason they go outside and go rogue, as the IT department says, the end users don't see it as going rogue. They see it as solving their problem.
Absolutely.
So that's why we have to be able to solve their problem. If SharePoint 2016 helps with that, awesome. If it doesn't, then maybe it's not a great upgrade for you. I'll say it. I'll say it out loud. You know, we have to have a reason to do these upgrades. Yeah.